Status Quo by Mac Reynolds. Section 1. In his income bracket, and in the suburb in which he lived, government employees in the 25 to 35 age group were currently wearing tweeds. Tweeds were in. Not to wear tweeds was non-you. Lawrence Wolford wore tweeds. His suit this morning had first seen the light of day on a hand loom in Donegal. It had been cut by a Swede widely patronized by serious young career men in Lawrence Wolford's status group. English tailors were out currently, and Italians unheard of. Wolford sauntered down the walk before his auto bungalow, scowling at the sports car at the curb. Wrong year, wrong make. He'd have to trade it in on a new model. Which was a shame in a way. He liked the car. However, he had no desire to get a reputation as a weird among colleagues and friends. What was it Senator Kerry MacArthur had said the other day? Show me a weird, and I'll show you a person who has taken the first step toward being a commie. Wolford slid under the wheel, dropped the lift lever, depressed gently the thrust pedal, and took off for downtown Greater Washington. Theoretically, he had another 4 days of vacation coming to him. He wondered what the boss wanted. That was the trouble in being one of the boss's favorite troubleshooters. When trouble arose, you wound up in the middle of it. Lawrence Wolford was to the point where he was thinking in terms of graduating out of fieldwork and taking on a desk job, which meant promotion in status and pay. He turned over his car to a parker at the departmental parking lot and made his way through the entrance utilized by second-grade departmental officials. In another year, he told himself, he'd be using that other door. The boss's reception secretary looked up when Lawrence Wolford entered the anteroom where she presided.
"Hello, Larry," she said. "Here they called your vacation short. Darn shame."
Laverne Polk was a cute little whiz of efficiency. Like Napoleon and his army, she knew the name of every member of the department and was on a first-name basis with all. However, she was definitely a weird. For instance, styles might come and styles might go, but Laverne dressed for comfort, did her hair the way she thought it looked best, and wore low-heeled walking shoes on the job. In fact, she was ready and willing to snarl at anyone, no matter how kindly intentioned, who even hinted that her nonconformity didn't help her promotion prospects. Wolford said, "Hi, Laverne. I think the boss is expecting me."
"That he is. Go right in, Larry."
She looked after him when he turned and left her desk. Lawrence Wolford cut a pleasant figure, as 30-year-old bachelors go. The boss looked up from some report on his desk, which he'd been frowning at, nodded to his field man, and said, "Sit down, Lawrence. I'll be with you in a minute. Please take a look at this while you're waiting." He handed over a banknote. Larry Wolford took it and found himself a comfortable chair. He examined the bill, front and back. It was a $50 note, almost new. Finally, the boss, a stocky but impeccable career bureaucrat of the ultra-latest school, scribbled his initials on the report and tossed it into an outshoot. He said to Wolford, "I am sorry to cut short your vacation, Lawrence. I considered giving Walter Foster the assignment, but I think you're the better choice." Larry decided the faint praise routine was the best tactic, said earnestly about his closest rival, "Walt's a good man, sir," and then, "What's the crisis?"
"What do you think of that 50?
His troubleshooter looked down at it.
"What is there to think about it?"
The boss grunted, slid open a desk drawer, and brought forth another bill.
"Here, look at this, please."
It was another 50. Larry Wolford frowned at it, not getting whatever was going on.
"Observe the serial numbers," the boss said impatiently.